do you think about traitors? About people that compromise. They compromise, they turn tail, they go over to the other side, and they do it because it's expedient. Or they do it because they want the benefit. Or they do it because they're afraid of their lives. And so they turn as a traitor, and they deny what they once held as true. We're going to look at some traitors today, and some that stood faithful. What a traitor is called in the Word of God. A traitor is called an apostate. An apostate is someone that once held something to be true. They believed it. It was part of their convictions, and it governed their lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, they turned around and went in the opposite direction. Maybe you are in a place of business. Maybe you're in a corporation. Or maybe you are in an organization. Or maybe you are in a neighborhood or in a church. And all of a sudden, you have found some people who, for the sake of expediency, for the sake of their own good or their own welfare, have all of a sudden turned around and denied what they once held to be true. That's a traitor. It's a traitor, especially before God, if they're denying their faith. And this is what you see happening in Daniel chapter 8. Now, what Daniel is doing is Daniel is giving us an account of a vision of a time when a little horn comes out of the four horns that rise up after the death of Alexander the Great. And he's going to tell us about this little horn. We've read about him. We've read all the scripture. But I want us to go back now and look at the historical implications of Daniel chapter 8. Because with, once again, with awesome and incredible accuracy, what happens is God lets Daniel know what's going to happen in the future. He's going to take Daniel, and it was the year of 551 BC when Daniel had this vision. Babylon was ruling. And he's going to take him not even into the time of Alexander the Great and his death, but beyond that. He's going to take us to the period of 175 to 163 BC and the rule of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, who was Antiochus Epiphanes? We're going to look at him in greater detail when we get to Daniel chapter 11. But God is telling us about Antiochus Epiphanes at this point in the book of Daniel, because he wants us to see, now hang on, he wants us to see the similarity between the little horn from the third empire, from the third kingdom, and how that little horn is like a foreshadowing of the little horn that becomes the rather big horn in the fourth kingdom. So what he's going to do is he's going to give us a profile. He's going to give us an example. He's going to give us what the Bible calls, or what we call, an antitype. Here is the real. An antitype is one that is beside it or like it. And so when you have the Christ, you have an antichrist. You have the Christ who's the real, the Messiah, and then you have an anti-Messiah, one who pretends to be the Messiah. okay? And he pretends to be the Messiah. All right, so what you have is you have a foreshadowing in Daniel chapter 8 of the little horn that is going to come out of the fourth kingdom. He's going to show us what comes out of the third kingdom. What comes out of the third kingdom is a prototype, so to speak, of what's going to come out of the fourth kingdom. So it's very important as you look at Daniel chapter 8 that when we read about this little horn, this little horn that comes out of the four horns that come up after the large horn on the goat is broken, that this little horn is a man that is coming and described to such great detail that history fits him in the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. All right, now it says in verse 8, of Daniel chapter 8. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken. That's Alexander the Great. And in its place came up four conspicuous horns, and those are the four generals that came and took the kingdom and divided it about 20 years after the death of Alexander the Great. And then it says, towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, out of one of those four, came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, that would be towards Egypt, toward the east, that would be toward the Medo-Persian Empire, and toward the beautiful land. Now remember, this is a picture of Greece. We've already seen that. And Greece is to the west of all this, all right? So here is a picture of the Grecian Empire. When Alexander the Great dies, it is not the end of the third beast of Daniel chapter 7. It is not the end of the third kingdom of Daniel chapter 2. It is the same kingdom, and this is important that you remember this, all right? Now, remember that that kingdom was divided into four parts, and what you see, if you have an inductive study Bible, you can see that we're only interested in two kings, two of those four generals that take over. We're interested in Ptolemy the first, who takes Egypt. We're interested in Seleucus, and Seleucus the first, Nicator is the one that takes Syria. All right, now this rather small horn is going to come out of this king of the north. It's the north to the north of Israel. All right, so it's going to come from there. Now he comes from there, and his name is Antiochus Epiphanes, and it says that he grew, this little horn, verse 10, grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host of heaven and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down. Now remember, this rather small horn out of Daniel chapter 7 tramples down the saints, all right? This little horn from the third kingdom, the kingdom of Greece, tramples down the host and tramples down some of the stars. Now you say host. What is this word host? Well, the word host is Saba, S-A-B-A, and it's used of three things. Number one, it is used for an army of angels. It is used in that way. It is used to refer to the stars in heaven, the heavenly host, the stars in heaven. And it is used also to refer to the people of God. And you can see that it's used to refer to the people of God if you'll go to Exodus with me, to Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. And as we look at this verse, he's talking about when they came out of the land of Egypt, when the children of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt. And it says in verse 41, and it came about at the end of 430 years to the very day that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So here, hosts is used to refer to the children of Israel. If you would go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. I want to show you something. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Now, that word for heaven there is really stars. And that word in the Hebrew is K-O-K-A-B-I-M. K-O-K-A-B-I-M. In Genesis 15:5, it's used literally for the stars in heaven. But here, it is used for people that are going to shine brightly like the expanse of stars. So when we go back to Daniel chapter 8, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 10, it says it grew up toward the host of heaven, and it's talking about these people that belong to God, that are God's people, they're heavenly people, so to speak. And it caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth. And the word stars there is K-O-K-A-B-I-M, which means, again, that these stars are those people that are standing for the Lord. These are those people that are being true to their belief in God. These are people that are shining, that have understanding, and are shining brightly in the midst of this very, very dark period. Now, it's a very, very dark period because Antiochus Epiphanes was determined that the world would be Hellenized, and he was determined that the Jews would be Hellenized. He didn't like the Jews, and the only way that he would like them is if they came over to his side. As a matter of fact, this was a man who would brook the worship of no other gods. He printed a coin, and on that coin was his face, and at the bottom of it, it was Theos Epiphanes. Theos from Theo, God, and Epiphanes from manifest. And so he was called Antiochus Epiphanes, the one, the manifested one. And he was implying that he was God. So he hated the Jews and he hated the worship of their God. So he comes against them and he tramples them down. And it says in verse 11, it even magnified himself, this little horn, to be equal with the commander of the host. And then it says, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him. In other words, the regular sacrifice from the commander of the host. Who's the commander of the host? The commander of the host is God. And what you have during this period of time is you have people turning and apostatizing and turning away from their faith. But Antiochus is determined to get rid of their religion. So he's going to stop the regular sacrifice. Now, what we're going to do is when we come back after this announcement, we're going to look at that regular sacrifice and what it means to stand firm.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Oh, beloved, I'm so glad that you're continuing on with me. I thank you so much for wanting to know truth, for being willing to study God's Word and to go through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. This is so exciting because here is God telling what's going to happen. This is being written in 551 BC, and God is talking about a period, the period of Antiochus Epiphanes, that goes from 175 to 163 BC. Awesome, isn't it? And he's telling what he's going to do. He's going to remove the regular sacrifice, verse 10 says. And it says in verse 11 that the place of his sanctuary, God's sanctuary, the commander of the host sanctuary, is going to be thrown down. Do you know what he did? He stopped the regular sacrifice and he went in and had a sow, a pig, offered on the altar. When he had the pig offered on the altar, he also, at one time, we don't know how much time in between all of this, he also went in and he desecrated the Holy of Holies because he set up this huge statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies. If you go to Israel with us and you go to the Citadel of David, which is an awesome, awesome museum, and it's just inside the gate right there as you go into the old city. I walk past it time and time and time again because we have a work in Israel and we have an office in Israel, and it's part office and part apartment, and I love Israel, and those are my streets, and those are my people, and I go in and I greet them and love them, Jews and Arabs, and I have friends from both beliefs in there. But as you go in, you see in that museum, you see a relief of them showing with ropes that are taking up that statue of Zeus where they're getting ready to erect it. And then you also see it crumbled and you see it destroyed. Now listen, in between the erecting of that statue of Zeus and the crumbling of that statue of Zeus, what you have is you have the troops dividing. You have transgressors running their course. You have men that apostatize and come over to the side of Antiochus Epiphanes, and they come over to his side, and some of the men, listen, this is what happened. Some of the men wanted to belong so much to that Hellenistic Greek society that they had their circumcision reversed. You say, that's not possible. It is possible, and it's in the books. And they had their circumcision reversed. Why? Because the Greeks would work out in these gymnasiums. They were like spas. And the minute, and everybody was nude. And so the minute that you looked at a man, you could tell whether he was Jew or Gentile. And so many of these Jews apostatized. They turned traitors. It makes you sick, doesn't it? They said, oh, let the regular sacrifice go. I want you to look at this regular sacrifice. It's Numbers chapter 28 and it's verse 3. Because what I want to do is I want to make an application here. In Numbers chapter 28, in verse 2, God is speaking to Moses, and he's saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offering by fire of a soothing aroma to me at the appointed time. He says, you shall say to them, this is the offering by fire you shall offer continually to the Lord. Verse 4, you shall offer one lamb in the morning and another lamb you shall offer at twilight. So that's the regular sacrifice that he's talking about, that he stops for 2,300 evenings and mornings. And it's interesting, it starts with evening and it goes to morning. So a lamb every evening, a lamb every morning, and then a portion of flour as a grain offering. And then he says, it is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai. It was given in the book of Leviticus. It was laid down in the book of Leviticus as a soothing aroma and an offering by fire to the Lord. In other words, what did God want? God wanted a continual offering going up to him, and he would go like this, and he would smell the sweet aroma, the soothing aroma of that offering that was going night and day. You know, when I think about that, I think about Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where after giving the gospel of Jesus Christ and showing how God takes care of our sin and how he saves us and how he sanctifies us by his sovereignty, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might put to test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want you to be a traitor. And the way to keep from being a traitor is to come to God and to present yourself as a living sacrifice. To have, as 2 Corinthians, and I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for just 1 minute, because I want you to see the scripture. I want you to see the parallels in it all. And I want you to see what this does to the heart of God, what it does to the nostrils of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Listen, you don't have to be a traitor. No matter how you're threatened, no matter whether they threaten your life or not, no matter how you're tempted, you don't have to yield. You don't have to be a traitor. There is no temptation or testing or trial taking you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted or tried or tested above what you're able to bear. He didn't allow those Jews to be tried or tested or tempted. Yes, it cost many of them. It cost them dearly. But they stood fast. Many shone brightly as the stars of heaven in the midst of the darkness of those traitors. And he says that when you and I are led by God in triumph, it says, it manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You see, when people at business, people in the neighborhood, people in the schools, people in the workplace or the home or the church see you and see that you are not going to compromise, it sends a message to them. And it's a message of life unto life, that you know where real life is. Now to others, and if we were to read the passage, we would go on and see that to some you're a stench of death unto death. Because why? Because they are not believing the message of Jesus Christ. Because they're not standing firm. Or because they have believed and they have apostatized. So they don't want you around. But listen, God does. And God says to this, He says that to Christ, we are a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. And He goes like that in your life. Well, let's go back and see what happens. He stops the regular sacrifices. He flings truth to the ground and performs its will and prospers. Now, as he does this, what I want you to see and I want you to understand is that he desecrates the holy books. He is an enemy of the people of God. He tells them, if you circumcise your children, then we will kill your baby boy and we will hang him around your neck and you will carry the carcass of that baby around your neck. This is a terrible, terrible man. You drop down and you have another description of him. It says in verse 23, in the latter period of their rule of the four horns, it says, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. He's getting it from the devil. He will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. He will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease, while they are secure. He will even oppose the prince of princes and will be broken without human agency. What happened? I'm going to tell you the story in detail when we get to Daniel chapter 11. But let me just say this, that after 2,300 evenings and mornings, all of a sudden his reign came to a halt. And it came to a halt when faithful Jews rose up against him. It was called the Maccabeans. It was called the period of the Maccabeans. You see, the priesthood had been sold by Antiochus Epiphanes to Jason. And so the priesthood was corrupt. And then another man by the name of Melanus came along and he took the priesthood. And the Maccabeans had had enough and they rose up and they went in and they restored the sanctuary. They got rid of the statue of Zeus. They put up the menorah, and miraculously the oil and the lamp burned for 8 days. And that's why they celebrate Hanukkah on the 25th day of Kislev. Kislev is synonymous with our December. And so you find the Hanukkah candles representing the fact that the light came back into the temple in a miraculous way, because there were people who were willing to stand for their God. It's awesome, isn't it? Absolutely awesome. Don't be a traitor. Be a living sacrifice. Stand for Him no matter how anyone threatens you or what they tempt you with. Be faithful, beloved.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.